Thank you so much for great service on 5 years. Lorelei, you can go right over there. All right, celebrating 15 years, Anjanette Ordonez. Come on up. Come on up here. I get to talk awesome about you. Anjanette is one of our super, super, super employees. She's an integral part of the Atascadero Police Department for the past 15 years. Prior to joining us, she spent 12 years with the Santa Maria Police Department, bringing with her a wealth of experience and knowledge that has served our department well. Anjanette has played a significant role in shaping our communications center and the dispatch team we have today, and we all know that's a stressful place to work. There are critical decisions made with a very short amount of time, supporting our officers and keeping our community safe. Super important job. She was instrumental in establishing and refining dispatch protocols and standard operating procedures, helping create the consistency, professionalism, and proficiency expected of our dispatchers. In 2016, she was promoted to dispatch lead, and in 2024, I was pleased to have her promoted to the newly created position of dispatch supervisor. She is the leader and backbone and core of our dispatch center. Anjanette was recently recognized with a Chief of Police commendation for her exceptional performance during a critical call involving a non-breathing infant. Her calm demeanor and professionalism under extremely difficult circumstances exemplify the important role our dispatchers play in protecting our community and supporting our officers. She's led the Communications Center through significant staffing challenges, helping rebuild the team while continuing to train and mentor a next generation of our dispatchers. Her leadership commitment and investment in her people have helped create the strong team we have today. And a consistently strong team today that's staffed like we are is really something in dispatch. It's impressive that we have our continued sustainability over there. Anjanette's impact on APD goes beyond protocol staffing and answering calls. The professionalism and proficiency of our current dispatch team reflect the standards she has established and the time she's invested in those around her. Outside of work, Anjanette is a proud mother of four. She enjoys spending time with her children, salsa making, Christmas. Who doesn't love Christmas? Traveling and cheering on the Dodgers, which is a pretty good effort these days. So Anjanette, thank you for 15 years. Another 15-year employee, Chris Robinson, our fire captain and paramedic. Chris, come on up here. Chris was hired as a reserve firefighter in March 2011. He had previously worked as a seasonal firefighter with Cal Fire and had put himself through paramedic school. That's impressive. We were able to steal him away from Cal Fire as a full-time firefighter in August of 2011. Chris brought his invaluable wildland firefighting experience with him, and he has been a strong asset to the department ever since. He promoted to fire engineer paramedic in May 15 and a fire captain paramedic in October 18. You can see those are pretty close because he's a sharp one. We're lucky to have him. Chris is instrumental in the department's emergency medical services program. He is a CPR instructor and a paramedic field training officer who trains our new paramedics. He is the department FTO liaison field training officer to the county, as well as a member of the county's QA/QI committee. Chris maintains all of our EMS supplies and ensures all EMS equipment is functioning and up to date, so super important. He spent time as a member of the North County Urban Search and Rescue Team and recently assisted in the rewrite and update of the City Emergency Operations Plan that this council just approved. That was a huge project. He has continued his training by becoming a qualified duty officer for our department as well. Off duty, he loves to keep busy with his two kids, Amelia 5 and Luca 3. He enjoys woodworking, camping, and those many, many adventures with the kids I know he loves dearly. So please join me in recognizing Chris. All right, now we're moving to 20 years. What was the music like 20 years ago? Kind of fun, huh? Sandy Scott, lead maintenance worker. This is crazy because I remember when we brought Sandy Scott on. That was 20 years ago. Sandy Scott is the lead maintenance worker in the Building Maintenance Division of Public Works and is responsible for keeping everyone happy with their work environments. Sandy began employment with the city in May 2006 as a maintenance worker at the Pavilion on the Lake. It didn't take long for us all to realize what an exceptional worker he is, and he was reassigned to maintain the newly constructed Colony Park Community Center, which he continues to do today. Due to Sandy's excellent skills and abilities, he was promoted to Building Maintenance Specialist in 2007 and to Senior Building Maintenance Specialist in 2012. Sandy has worked at every single city facility, including the police and fire stations, pavilion, community center, city hall, corporation yard, ranger house, zoo, every building. Most city employees know Sandy and are aware of the legendary customer service he provides to them in maintaining and improving their work environments, truly enhancing the quality of life for his coworkers. We're grateful Sandy doesn't know how to say no. So when we need something bettered, improved, repaired, upgraded, Sandy is always the guy for that. There isn't much that he hasn't done or that he can't do, including plumbing, electrical, carpentry, roofing, masonry, landscaping, and the occasional appliance repair. He has an impeccable work ethic, and he makes things happen. He is definitely the go-to guy in our organization. Sandy is one of our own and grew up in Atascadero and is married to his high school sweetheart, Joanne, and they have six children together, a bundle of grandchildren, I would say, and have provided a loving home to over 100 foster children over the years. This is the kind of man he is. That deserves, I think, that's amazing. Outside of work, Sandy likes rock crawling with his Jeep and spending as much time as possible at their family cabin in the mountains. And just a personal note, Sandy's family and his extended family are very precious. His parents are special to Debbie and to me. And I remember talking to his dad 20 years ago saying, your son needs to get a good city job. And I'm really glad you did, because we are a way better place because of you. Sandy, thank you. Another 20 years. Tom Little, fire engineer for the next few days. Come on up here, sir. Tom was hired as a reserve firefighter in 2000 and then as a seasonal firefighter in 2002. He became a full-time firefighter in 2006 and promoted to fire engineer in 2011. Tom has been a member of the fire department's grant writing team and successfully has helped us receive grants for a safer firefighter position, extrication equipment, and personal protective equipment. Tom was also a member of the North County Urban Search and Rescue Team for 10 years. He is a qualified line EMT and has worked as an expanded dispatcher for the U.S. Forest Service. Tom has been a department qualified officer in charge for 4 years and has also finished his fire technology degree. Most recently, he has taken all of the Fire Inspector 1 classes in preparation to assist the department with fire prevention. However, starting next week, Tom will begin his role as our new fire captain, fire marshal. So Tom is being promoted to that, and he's going to do a great job. Good pick, Chief Benzon. Good pick. Helping our community grow safely and stay prepared for fires through fuel management. We're proud of you on your promotion, Tom. Tom and his wife, Colleen, she's right over there, just celebrated their 30th wedding anniversary. That's awesome. And they have two children, Matthew and Marissa, and two grandchildren, Caitlin and Grayson. In his off time, Tom enjoys spending time with family and friends and enjoys going to concerts and playing the guitar. Should have brought that tonight. Tom, thank you for 20 years of service. Councilmember, like to come out, we'll recognize our employees. If you all could just stay there, the council is going to come greet you, and then we'll grab a picture. Thank you all for your tenure. Wow, that's, 50, 25, there. It's over 100 years of service right there, and looking good.
Okay, we are going to move on now to our consent calendar. The consent calendar consists of items that are normally considered routine or non-controversial by city staff and will be acted upon in by a single action of the council unless otherwise requested by a council member for separate consideration. Public comment will be allowed on consent calendar items prior to our taking action. But I will first ask if any member of the council has any questions or would like to pull an item. I'll start on my right with Councilmember Newsom.
I'd like to pull six for discussion and a separate vote.
Six. Okay, item D6. Okay, in that case, any other questions or an item to pull?
I have one brief item on four.
On four,
just to clarify, I am not asking to pull.
Not asking to pull. Okay, go ahead and make your comment on four, and then we will vote on one through five.
This is a question I want to clarify with Mr. DeBar. Just understanding that these are repairs to culverts that for our storm drainage. And so just to define culvert, that my understanding of that is that we're talking about the structures that move water underneath streets from one side of the street to the other for storm drainage, but not things that run alongside the streets or things on private property. Is that correct?
That is correct, council member. Two of these culverts are storm drain systems, so they do cross a road. The ones on El Camino, they actually have storm drain inlet boxes between them, but the others are culverts that are open-ended on each side of the road.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, sure.
To follow up on that, though, to be clear, the city does not maintain culverts on private property.
We do not.
Correct. Okay, correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, with that, then, we will pull item six. We will open up the floor to public comment on any of the items on D1 through D5. Okay, seeing no public comment on those items, I will bring it back to the council for a motion on D1 through D5.
I move approval of the consent items D1 through D5.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Daris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Bourbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, thank you. We move on to item D6. Councilmember Newsom, you wished to pull it, and I believe there might have been some other questions too, but did you want to begin by asking questions, or did you want staff to give a presentation?
I'll go ahead and have staff do the presentation.
Okay, all right, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Lewis.
Chief, do you have the presentation available?
We do not have a PowerPoint prepared right at the moment.
Okay. So I'm happy to open up comments here. So this item, let me pull up my staff report really fast.
To be clear, we don't normally prepare a presentation for items on the consent calendar. So
right.
There is the staff report. Mr. Lewis will summarize and
so the item before you, and I think it'll be more important to answer the questions you may have, is adopting a draft resolution expressing support for the city of Paso Robles to submit on behalf of all cities in the county a bid for the San Luis Obispo County Ambulance Services contract. And so this has been an effort that's been in the making for over 4 years, with the idea that cities wanted to make sure that we had reliable, modern, updated, accountable, and transparent ambulance services. And state law changed a few years ago that allows cities to come together and bid on providing ambulance service. Our existing provider has been providing reliable service for 80 years, but the process has never gone to bid. And so there hasn't been a competitive process that makes sure our residents are getting the very best, most cost-effective ambulance service possible. And so for a number of years, we've been working with the County of San Luis Obispo, who actually oversees this contract, to put forth a request for proposal to create a competitive process to make sure that we have the best ambulance service. This is a very serious service where time is critical. And so, cost effectiveness is critical. And we've seen some significant increases in our costs. And so that's why this is before you tonight. The action tonight is simply an affirmation of support. This does not obligate you to anything. This is not a contractual relationship with anyone. This does not commit finances or legal issues. There's a number of questions we have yet to resolve because we haven't seen the RFP. So it's anticipated the county will release the RFP this month, early next month. When we see that, just like the current ambulance provider, I expect that to talk about how many ambulances you should have, what performance indicators are, what reserves you should have. We'll have a lot more answers as we submit our response to that RFP, the seven cities with our partner. So that's what's before you tonight, is a resolution of support to the city of Paso Robles, who's acting as the lead agency in this. This proposal, if it went forward, does not create a new government, a new JPA. It's very similar to the Five Cities Fire Authority model, where the city of Rio Grande is the administrator of the service and handles the finances and legal, but the two cities share that service, and this would be a very similar model. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have about this. It was put on consent tonight because the council previously, your strategic planning, supported this effort, supported regional efforts, and there wasn't a binding commitment. So that's why I'd put it on the consent. I'm happy to answer any questions, the chief or I.
Thank you.
Did you have any specific questions?
I appreciate you taking the time to address it. I think the title for the public's feedback was support for the county alliance. Have any of the other city councils voted in support of this? You said all seven cities are showing support. Is this?
So all seven cities to date have allowed the city managers and chiefs to work on this proposal. So far, the city of Pismo Beach approved it last week. It was on their consent agenda. And this evening, Morro Bay and Rio Grande are considering it, formally the councils, and then there'll be other meetings throughout September.
Okay. I just pulled it for discussion because in prior conversations, we had determined there was a lot of unknown answers. Additional information was also showing that some of the other fire districts after 2 years of implementation are seeing rate increases substantially. If there are additional rate increases above and beyond, does that get sent to the counties for reimbursement, or does that get sent to the cities to just absorb that increase in services?
I can speak to that. So I think we're referring to one, and this was the Sonoma County public-private model that had a rate increase a year after implementation. And I think the question is, how do we know that won't happen here? And so I do have a few answers. So prior to the previous private ambulance provider's departure, their employees received a significant wage increase. When the new provider assumed operations, it hired many of those employees, and the alliance honored the increased wage levels. These higher personnel costs were not anticipated or incorporated into that alliance's original proposal. The transport volumes provided in the IRFP were actually higher than the actual amount of transports as well. And so the alliance developed this proposal, staffing model, and costs off of transport volumes that were identified in the RFP that were far higher than it actually was. And so that did require them to continue that service, and it did cause an increase of 16% over 2 years. I think in our situation, we'll have better information. We have a better team put together. And I think as far as rate increases, I do want to mention that Slo County approved a 62% rate increase for ambulance services in 2025. And so that's what the current provider we have, which was not spread over time, but was implemented immediately.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Councilmember Funk, you had questions?
Yes, most of them have been answered, but I did want to understand, if the competitive business process proceeds as is encouraged in this resolution with the county, is there some kind of MOU or agreement with special terms that will come before this council? And at what point would we have that in that process? Would we have the fuller analysis of the financial risks and benefits?
Absolutely. So once we see the RFP and what the county is asking for a successful bid and how the selection criteria are laid out, that will give us more insight onto how we will respond and the services we're providing. During that time, then, when we see the framework that the county is suggesting, we will have legal agreements to talk with you about. We will have agreements on how this is funded, where the money comes from initially, what happens if an agency backs out. So there's a lot of those questions we've been working on, but we need to see the RFP to have specific answers. So I would expect that when the RFP is released and bids are being formed and submitted, we'll be having formative discussions with the councils. I anticipate sometime in the spring, where all of that would have to be wrapped up. If we were selected by the County Board of Supervisors, all those agreements would have to be, approved by you by separate action at that point in time.
Okay. And the we that you're talking about would be the Alliance of Cities.
That's correct.
With Paso as the lead. Okay. And am I correct in recalling that when this came before the County Board of Supervisors and they voted to proceed on the most recent vote to proceed on this path, that every single fire chief essentially in the county, all of the city's fire chiefs and most of the jurisdictional fire chiefs were there present and supporting the measure?
Yes, all seven fire chiefs and city managers were at that meeting in a show of unanimous support, which is why I said all cities. now councils are voting on it, so we'll see where that lands. But city managers aren't usually that far away from their council's direction. That's not a good place for us to be. So, yeah, you had all seven of us there.
Yeah. Okay, great. And I did also recall seeing Chief Tom from Templeton and some other folks that are not city chiefs, but are also leading of agencies in that service, and folks from CAL FIRE. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Darras, any questions? Okay, Councilmember Peak.
Yeah, in the event that the Alliance wins the bid, the county, if it goes through and it wins the bid, what are we looking at startup costs? Where's that money going to come from? Are we each individual, each city's ponying it up and hoping that we get reimbursement? The unknowns are there. So if you could speak to that.
So I think, again, we need to see the RFP to understand our costs and how that would all work. But each of the cities ideally would be supporting this operation for the short term until reimbursement from Medicare and insurance companies started creating the revenue just like it does now. And we would pay ourselves back. So that is the initial model. But there's a lot of detail still to sort out once we see the RFP. Also, some of this is going to be proprietary business arrangement, right? We are going to have a private sector partner that we're working with on putting our bid package together. But yes, the idea or concept being cities would front resources and pay ourselves back in the short term as payments started flowing.
In the long term, is it reliant on the federal government continued support?
No, it is not. And so we're very aware, and there is a lot of discussion being put out there that if the federal government additional subsidy is called the GEMT subsidy, that is going to go away. We don't know that, but if it did, and that would actually impact rural ambulance service across the country. So that would be a real issue for the nation. But if it did, the current ambulance provider does not get that now, and they're still very profitable. And so we're not doing this for profit. We're using this to put all of the resources we have back into the service so our residents get better, more effective ambulance service. So to answer your question, no, if that went away, it does not mean our proposal goes away. We would continue to plan conservatively. I think what it does do if it went away is we won't be able to roll out some of the service enhancements that we're anticipating. And I can't speak to those tonight because I'll be part of our proposal. But we do have several service enhancements we anticipate that those resources would allow. But it does not impact our ability to respond or be in the clear.
Does the proposed Alliance already have a private partner in mind?
We do.
Speak to the extra layer of government in Paso Robles that's going to be maintaining this Alliance and the whole project itself. Are they going to be existing employees up there working extra, or new employees, or...
That's a great question. I'd be really happy to speak to that. So I think there also are some framing this as a big government takeover. We're creating a new government. That isn't the case at all. This is actually a very lean model that brings communities together to improve service. So basically, Paso Robles City would be the managing agency, and their fire chief would be the executive director of the Alliance, and their finance department would, you know, coordinate the finances of the audit, the attorney. So it's not a whole new board, a whole new government, they basically would be a service provider. We would pay them a management fee, but those costs would be very transparent because each city manager would serve on the oversight board of the Alliance. That's the board, if you will, your business people, your city managers, to make sure that the operation is transparent. So now, finally, publicly, all financial information about our provision of the service would be available. We'd be able to see how much it costs per call. We'd be able to see the revenue coming in, and council members would have more input through the city managers on how the service works. So it is not, and I think there's some suggestion that we're trying to compete with local small business. We'd actually hoped to have this slow ambulance as our partner when we were pursuing this, but they didn't choose to be our partner. And so we're still trying to move forward with better service. We don't want to compete. And we additionally are required to hire all of their field personnel if we were selected. But no, this does not create a new government. It's very similar, like I said, to a Rio Grande. The city of Rio Grande is the business agent for Five Cities Fire Authority. Now, they do have a board of council member from each city that oversees that operation, but it isn't a whole separate legal entity. A Rio Grande just does, you know, the back office stuff. So that's what we're doing. We aren't trying to compete with small business, but we do prioritize the healthcare needs of our community and want to get the best service possible.
Okay, thank you. I have one question before we go out to public comment. In the staff report, the recommendation is that the council adopt a draft resolution expressing support for Paso to submit a bid on behalf of all cities in the county. they're going to develop the finer details of that bid in conjunction with the 7 city managers and fire chiefs?
That's correct. We have a monthly meeting now that we work on, and we'll accelerate those once the RFP is released with our partner.
And when exactly then would it come back to the city councils for further?
So I would think there'd probably be a couple decision points early 27 and then spring 27.
And that decision point, though, would be whether each city says, yeah, this is a good bid. We want to participate in that bid.
I think approving the legal framework, the financial framework, those sorts of things. I'm being a little careful in what I say because a lot of this is part of our bid, and the potential bidder against this is sitting in the audience.
All right. Thank you. We're going to go out to public comment. I know we did have a request from San Luis Ambulance to pull this, so it got pulled anyway. And so please, if you want to speak, please step to the podium so we don't have to walk across the room. So please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. My name is Chris Javine.
Can you get a little closer to the mic there?
I'm the general manager of San Luis Ambulance. More than 80 years, we have been the ambulance company serving your community. I'm here to comment on the item D6, the resolution regarding Paso Robles' Lead Alliance bid for the county's ambulance contract. A number of the goals of the proposed alliance, such as long-term sustainability, enhanced dispatch technology, and expanded behavioral health resources, are all worthy goals. My concern is with the challenges created by the alliance model and whether it has the ability to accomplish them. Emergency medical services are always evolving and improving, and we have consistently demonstrated our commitment to meeting or exceeding the county's system performance standards. The system in place today is already operational and financially stable. It's fully staffed by an exceptional local workforce. Its response infrastructure is already in place, and its leadership team has decades of experience running this system. It's also flexible, adjusting to what the community needs. For example, 2 basic life support ambulances have already been added this year, and next week, another advanced life support ambulance comes online, all while charging below the maximum rates permitted by the county, demonstrating a focus on balancing cost and performance rather than maximizing revenue. The alliance does not yet exist, as Jim mentioned, and I'd ask you to consider several specific concerns before lending it your support. The alliance model creates an entirely new organizational structure, an executive committee of 7 city managers running a countywide ambulance system for the first time, while working with subcontracted ambulance company under an untested arrangement. That's a major undertaking and adds substantial risk when reliability matters most. The staff report names PPGMT reimbursement as a key source of the model's added revenue. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service has proposed a rule that would set reimbursement rates substantially below those assumed in the alliance model. If that funding is cut, as proposed, this model may not pencil out, leaving open the question of which partner cities would be responsible for additional startup costs, capital improvements, cost overruns, or operational shortcomings. The resolution also says it will foster strong local partnerships and community-based EMS. But when the day-to-day ambulance operations are subcontracted to American Medical Response, a large national corporation headquartered in Texas, it's hard to see as a truly local EMS partnership. Before lending support to this resolution, I'd ask that you look closely at whether this model is truly financially and operationally stable, and what obligations it would create for this city and its taxpayers, while also considering the benefits of the reliable, well-functioning system serving your community today. Okay. Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you. Next speaker, please. I say go ahead and please approach the podium, whoever's next.
Mr. Mayor and City Council members, my name is Nate Otter, and I address you this evening as both a 29-year employee of San Luis Ambulance and a 26-year resident of Atascadero. My wife, Jessica, was also employed for 27 years with San Luis Ambulance before retiring. She is now a small business owner in our community. Together, while both working full-time for San Luis Ambulance, we raised two beautiful girls here. I mentioned my employment, my family, and my community together with intention because one cannot be separated from the other. When my girls were young and attended San Gabriel School, my wife and I would bring the ambulance for school demos and speak at career days throughout their time there. It is a regular practice for San Luis Ambulance to donate staff members and ambulances to provide demonstrations and speak at career days throughout San Luis Obispo County. Both of my girls played numerous youth sports in Atascadero while growing up. San Luis Ambulance has sponsored their softball teams, their soccer teams, and donated ambulances to cover cross-country events. At Atascadero High School football games, you could see San Luis Ambulance's logo proudly displayed as a sponsor on my daughter's cheer box that the cheerleaders would stand on, and we regularly have an ambulance present at the game in case someone gets injured. San Luis Ambulance has not only made it possible for my wife and I to own a house and raise kids in this great community, the owners have also ensured that San Luis Ambulance is part of this community. In fact, San Luis Ambulance, a locally family-owned and operated business, has been supporting this county and its communities for more than 80 years. Their level of support, outreach, and engagement is unique and special. It is what you get from a local company whose sole focus is to care for the community that it serves. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Council. Jeff Oslin, business owner, resident of this wonderful community. I'm very concerned that we're, first of all, going out to bid. But going out to bid sometimes is a good thing. I'm not so sure about the alliance. I'm very concerned if we switch to AMR. I will go on that record. I will hold the sword on this one, so to speak. I've dealt with both AMR and San Luis Ambulance for over 27 years in the special event world. And I can tell you hands down, in my opinion, AMR is not as good. This past May for the Wildflower Triathlon, Monterey County, AMR charged $600 an hour for standby at the lake, where it used to be San Luis Ambulance is around $240 or $260 an hour. Has anybody here checked with our schools? Because they also need ambulance service for football games, etc. Special events may go up. San Luis Ambulance provides a bike to get around with a stretcher on an ambulance type of thing. If there's a bike race or a problem with, say, at Margarita, even though that's county, it's still our council's problem to deny this. I'm very, very concerned about this. The other things are San Luis Ambulance has provided community service support at about any event you can think of. National Night Out, the sheriff's deal coming up again in 2 weeks in Madonna Plaza for the whatever they call that, the Posse Day. I think this is horrible. Let's go back to an incident in Pacific Grove. Granted, sometimes you have bad employees in any profession, but we had them not respond. It's on record. They lost a major lawsuit for not responding because their AMR staff were drugged up on meth. So be careful on this slippery slope. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else wishing to speak on this item? Okay, seeing no one approach, we'll bring it back to the council for consideration. Do we have any comments or a motion?
I just have one more clarification. You guys spoke, Jim, you spoke about the contract expected to be released somewhere in spring of 2027, but the council agenda said the bid for contract is expected to be released the third quarter of 2026, which ends in less than 30 days. Is that a typo?
That probably means the RFP will be released this quarter, and then we have a couple months to respond.
because okay. of an in-depth response. So that may be a typo.
Okay. Just wanted, that's kind of why I flagged it.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I think it's challenging to replace something with our voice of our small business. And I'm not sure our city managers understand the challenges and operations of what it takes to be a small business. So I'm at that point where I don't have enough information for me to move forward with support of this. So I move to vote no against support or no on support of this.
Okay. So that's a motion?
Yes, that is okay. my motion.
I'll see if we have a second to that motion, but we'll discuss it. We'll each have a chance to discuss it anyway. Yeah, you can always do a negative motion. We don't usually do that, but we just want to discuss it further. Okay, let's hold that out there and go ahead and I'll come down the line, starting with Councilmember Funk.
Sure. I think, we spent quite a bit of time as a council looking at this. We talked about it at strategic planning, if I recall. And one of the key considerations for me is that we're dealing with a system where a private business has had a monopoly, a government guaranteed monopoly for 80 years. That is an exceptional situation and is worth considering whether there's an opportunity to do something better. I mean, nothing would be more awesome than to have an RFP process and have the winner be San Luis Ambulance and have the chance to go through this process that, the county does that process. And so we don't get to control what that decision is, but not to put a situation up for a competitive evaluation for more, to after 80 years is, I think, bad stewardship for us. I think we need to allow for this, and the city managers have worked to find a model that can work. I'm also really encouraged that no matter what happens, the great employees that are serving our community with San Luis Ambulance now would continue to be the great employees serving our community no matter what way this RFP goes and whatever the county decides. So this is not a change in the staffing of this work. But it is something that I think, it's always hard, but it is something I think we ought to stay on this pathway and let the county pursue this process.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Darras, any comments? Okay. Councilmember Peak, any comments?
I'd just like to clarify that I think the field, the medics and the EMT workers will be offered a job, but the rest of the staff will not. If there was a different provider, that might be something to be clarified on.
Mr. City Manager, I don't know if you want to clarify that to the extent you can.
The law mentions that field workers, so I actually don't know if that covers the office or not. But I know that the ambulance drivers and the field workers. I do want to make a point, too. This has been driven by not the city managers. It's supported. But this is driven by the fire chiefs and their desire to give better emergency medical service and that cohesion between our paramedics and the ambulance. And so I do want to also be fair and clear that we have an excellent relationship, our firefighters, with San Luis Ambulance employees. And so that there's no issue there. This is all about transparency, accountability, cost, and service delivery. And I think this process, competition's good. San Luis Ambulance is already making some changes, introducing BLS ambulances and those sorts of things that may be driven because this process is here. So this is all about, the winner is having a better ambulance service at the end of the day for our residents. And if that's provided by them, then that's fine. The county board will make that decision. But the competition and the process of refining and making our service better is what this is really about. And so moving forward tonight allows the process to continue so we can refine and have even better ambulance service.
Thank you. So we have a motion to not proceed with the resolution. If I don't see a second, I'm going to...
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a second on that. So we'll have a roll call vote. And keeping in mind, this is a motion to not adopt the draft resolution. So roll call, please.
Councilmember Newsom?
No. Or I'm staying with my motion of no, I don't support it.
So that's a yes on the motion?
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
No.
And Mayor Bobo?
No.
Motion fails.
Okay, motion fails. Do I have a motion, you know, that we adopt the draft resolution?
So move.
I'll second.
Okay, and we'll go to roll call. I would add my comment largely echoing what Councilmember Funk said, that, you know, for me to have a contract out for 80 years without rebidding it, that does not set well with me. And, you know, I think we're very open to new information, and there's some very valid concerns raised both by San Luis Ambulance and members of the public that would be considered or should be considered. But I cannot go forward with not considering going out to bid on an 80-year-old contract. So I think it's wise to go to the next step, and we'll see how things shake out from there. So, yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
No.
Peak?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
And Mayor Bobo?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-2 with Councilmember Newsom and Councilmember Funk voting no. Member Newsom and Councilmember Peak voting no. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And thank you all to all who spoke on this item. And we will move on to we have updates from the city manager, Mr. Lewis.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I have several. First, we have a public works update. So the Paloma Park parking lot improvements, the parking lot has been striped and is now open for use. So you can see that parking stalls, accessible parking spaces, and associated parking markings have been completed. And the improvements enhance parking organization, accessibility, and safety for park visitors. There may be some additional work we're going to do out there. We're kind of keeping an eye on it as soccer season starts, but I do want to make sure you saw that and that was ready for soccer. On our public safety facilities, we have a very exciting update. If you have pictures, expect to see grading, foundation, and utility work at Fire Station 1. Construction is framed, so Station 2 you can see is framed, which is exciting. And then you can also see at the police department there, that's more than framed. It's actually getting its weather wrapping now. So the dispatch center's up, Station 2 is out of the ground, and Station 1 will continue to have utility and foundation work. So very exciting, just a great investment in our community safety. For fun, Orange and Gray Fridays are here. So support our Atascadero Greyhounds and or local restaurants with Orange and Gray Fridays. So wear your Orange and Gray team colors and get 10% off at participating restaurants before and after the home football games. And so also 10% off of food, A-Town Diner, Barley and Boar, Blast and Brew, Cielo, Guesthouse Grill, Mabel Lounge at the Carlton Streetside Ale House, Colony Sandwich Company, and Wild Fields. Thank you for participating in Orange and Gray Fridays. And then 10% off beverages at A-Town Chop Shop, Decades Lounge, Kula Hawaiian Kitchen, Mabel Lounge, and Wild Fields. So our next home games are September 25th, October 16th, and October 30th. And the Greyhounds are off to a strong start this year, so let's cheer them on. More fun can be had at the zoo. Tickets are on sale now for Brew at the Zoo. This is the 13th year for this, from 5 to 8 on September 12th. This is a great way to raise money for the zoo and support wildlife conservation. We'll have several breweries, some wineries, over 25 breweries and wineries, actually. Great bands, great music, and of course, our star are our beautiful animals. They're the celebrities, and you can get to see them and learn about them. Next, we have a Coffee with a Planner. Continues to be a hit. This is September 7th at 9 a.m. at Malibu Brew. And this is really your chance to find out what's happening, what's being built. If you have questions about land use, zoning, working on expanding your house, want to open a business, these are all great times to talk to one of our planners in a more relaxed individual environment and get some great information. Our fall sippin' shop is right around the corner as well. Your ticket includes a wine glass, wine tastings from 20-plus businesses, complimentary tours of City Hall. You can go to atascaderochamber.org/events to get your tickets. Again, the September 25th from 5:30 to 8:30. And this is always just a great time to come by. Fall is a beautiful time of year here, and we hope you can get out to enjoy and support our downtown merchants. Additionally, fall is going to be busy, as you can see. 6th annual Atascadero Fall Fest and Colony Days Parade is coming up October 16th through 18th of 2026. So the 6th annual Fall Fest is a 3-day free admission event in our Sunken Gardens. It's a family-friendly, full-scale carnival with rides, games, vendors, lots of big music acts. We're going to try again having Colony Days start off the Fall Festival with the parade and community celebration. This has been moved to October, so we're hoping for a little better weather than the rainy day we had last year. I give my hats off to a couple folks who still walked the parade route in the rain, and our new Colony Days parade will be 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on October 17th, Saturday. So it should be a really nice time to celebrate Atascadero and our heritage. Storm preparedness, I wanted to speak about that. Every year, the city dedicates significant time and resources preparing for winter storms. I think we've actually heard from several people that have seen our public works crews out there in culverts, cleaning storm drain inlets. So if you see us doing that, that's a good time for you to do that too. You really need to make sure you protect your private property. Look for the inlets that drain your property from one side to the other. Clean them out. Make sure they're flowing. You want to be able to, we are stockpiling sand. And so you want to make sure you know where to get that. And I'll share that in just a minute. We are making sure streets are swept, especially downtown, and we're trimming up trees and parks and facilities. So we're busy. You should do the same thing. We're also managing our vegetation and large swales to keep runoff flowing. If you have swales across your property, make sure the water flows. And just make sure your storm drains and drainage, roof gutters, all of that work. Just like wildfire readiness, storm preparedness should be part of your routine. Flooding can happen quickly, and so you want to make sure you protect your home if it happens to you. So here are some specific steps you can be doing. Cleaning gutters, drainage inlets, pipes, and other private drainage facilities, including culverts under driveways on your property. Removing leaves, tree limbs, trash, and other debris that could obstruct drainage. Removing potential obstructions from areas of your property that drain toward the road, culvert, and drain systems. And clearing and removing any downed trees or limbs located on your property. Ensure that any structures and areas prone to flooding have been permitted by the city and are secured properly to avoid washing into a creek or waterway. So make sure you're taking care of your property. The city's focus in storm events is on public property and public access, so we can make sure our emergency vehicles can get to you, that streets are still flowing and passable as much as possible, and so we can get to people. So that's our priority, and so make sure you take care of your property. Regarding sandbags, sand is available for free at the city's corporate yard at 8005 Garbata Road. You can see our sand pickup area right there. Sand is intended for sandbags only in preparation for a storm. If you want to get that to fill sandbags to have them for your property, you must supply your own sandbags. Our local hardware stores are selling them, and bring your own shovel, but we have all the sand you need to be prepared, and that's a smart move. Before I head to my last question slide, I do want to share that wow, time passed quickly. This is our fire chief's last council meeting as fire chief. So over 32 years of service, Chief Casey Bryson, thank you for your career. Served us so well. We'll be saluting Chief Bryson on his last day next Thursday, the 17th, at an event at 11 a.m. at the current fire station site. So we're going to have lots of applause and memories and certificates and things for the chief. But I did want to point out tonight how grateful we've been to have you for your career, sir, and what a valuable member of the city staff and just the epitome of an excellent fire chief. So thank you for your service. With that, if there's any questions, I can answer them. And of course, for any information, you can always go to visit atascadero.com or atascadero.org. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. And Chief, I'm sorry I will miss your thing. I will be at a 3CE board meeting in Monterey or driving back from. So certainly wish you the best. I'm sure we'll see you around as you are a native and we'll be staying in town. So with that, Mr. Lewis, I did want to comment on the sand. You said it's at the courtyard. It looks from the picture, it's actually outside the gates, so you don't have to get into the courtyard. So it's available 24/7, right? Okay, thank you very much. Does any member of the council have any questions for the city manager? Councilmember Funk.
Will there be sand also available somewhere in the vicinity of Fire Station 1? I know it can't be there at the back of the area where it used to be, but no, over back by the Colony Park Community Center or someplace?
No, we don't have arrangements for that. Okay. There's nowhere around the fire station. I don't think we looked at the community center because it's pretty tight in there. It's pretty active with kids and games and events, and so people back in trucks and loading sand didn't seem consistent.
Okay, could we put a sign up in the area on the construction fencing or somewhere near Fire Station 1 telling people how to find the corporate yard so that they know where to get their stand if they're used to getting it at Fire Station 1?
Let me check with staff, but that seems pretty reasonable.
Okay, thank you.
For those of you who don't know, sand had previously been available at Fire Station 1, which of course is now torn down and behind a construction fence, so that's not feasible. So by itself. Okay, any questions on this side? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Mr. Lewis. We will move on to community forum. And community forum is that portion of the meeting which is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on a matter not on the agenda, but over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we ask that you state your name for the record. Comments made during community forum will not be a subject of discussion because the Brown Act prohibits the council from entering into a discussion on an item not on the agenda. However, we may, at our discretion, ask staff a question or ask staff to get back with a speaker. So with that, we will begin community forum. We ask any of you that wish to speak, please approach the podium. Don't wait until the previous speaker is finished. First speaker, go ahead. Thank you.
Good. My name is Dane Sensor. My brother and I unfurled the largest American flag in the world in 2020. We're trying to do it this year for the 250th anniversary. However, we were met with great resistance, not only by city councils all over the country, but when we tried to get a sponsor, when we were doing it in Nebraska, the heart of the country, and Lincoln and Omaha, the sponsors told us, we don't want to be political. And I looked at them like, political? For Memorial Day? Veterans who gave their life for this country? I was in shock. It only happened there. We were trying to do it for Veterans Day this year, the 250th celebration. Same kind of response. City councils, we didn't need response. It was like they were afraid of the American flag. Okay. Gallup poll. Since 2021, Republicans have gone for pride in America and patriotism has gone from 80% to 70% for Republicans. Democrats, since 9/11, have gone from 60% to 14% to this current date. We know there's a big divide in the country. However, we have to acknowledge the Constitution and take some pride and patriotism in this country. Men and women have fought for this flag. And I went over to ABC today to ask them, I says, listen, we're doing a little candlelight vigil here on Thursday, September 10th, for the tragic murder of someone who wanted to give his freedom of speech, his First Amendment right. We want to honor it, unite in light. That woman at ABC Church, you know what she told me? We don't honor him, he's too extreme. Charlie Kirk is too extreme for just wanting to express, bring people together, unite them. I was absolute shock. Here's a church. Here's a man who was a Christian. That's all he talked about was God. And she's telling me, a church, he's too extreme. We just focus on God. I says, I was in shock. I just couldn't believe it. Here's a church denying a man who was a Christian, that's all he was about God preaching, uniting the country. But it just shows you how people have a different version of different people. And I thought it was a shame. However, this Thursday, 7 o'clock, I hope people can join us in a peaceful gathering to unite in light, bring a candle, bring a flashlight, and honor this man who was tragically murdered for just giving his First Amendment right. We have to come back to America and unite. What's happening in America is not right. And divided we fall, united we stand. Thank you.